नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. First Canto, Chapter 10, entitled Departure of Lord Krishna for Dwarka. Text number 13. Sarve te nimishaya Akshais tam anu druta chetasaha vikshantak sneha sambada vichelus tatra ha sarvete nimishar akshais Sarvete nimisharakshais Tammanu dhrutta chetasa Tammanu dhrutta chetasa Vikshantak sneha sambada Vikshantak sneha sambada Vichelus tatra tatraha Sarvaite nimisharakshais Tamanu dhrutta chetasa Vikshantak sneha sambada Vichelus tatra tatraha Ladies.
Ladies.
Sarve, all. Te, they. Animishai, without twinkling of the eyes. Akshay, by the eye. Tam anu, after him. Dutta chetasah, melted heart. Pikshanta, looking upon him. Sneha-sambhadaha, bound by pure affection. Vichelu, began to move. Tatra-tatra, here and there. Ha, so they did. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. All their hearts were melting for him on the pot of attraction. They looked at him without blinking their eyes, and they moved hither and thither in perplexity. Please repeat. All their hearts were melting for him on the pot of attraction. They looked at him without blinking their eyes, and they moved hither and thither in perplexity. Purport. Krishna is naturally attractive for all living beings because he is the chief eternal amongst all eternals. He alone is the maintainer of the many eternals. This is stated in the Katha Upanishad. And thus one can obtain permanent peace and prosperity by revival of one's eternal relation with him, now forgotten under the spell of Maya, the illusory energy of the Lord. Once this relation is slightly revived, the conditioned soul at once becomes freed from the illusion of material energy and becomes mad after the association of the Lord. This association is made possible not only by personal contact with the Lord, but also by association with His name, fame, form, and quality. Srimad Bhagavatam trains the conditioned soul to this stage of perfection by submissive hearing from the pure devotee. Om Jnani Tamidanda Sthak Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Manitam Jena Tasmai Sivarve Namo Om Guru Deva Chalam Pankam Nangaya Teginam Kipadam Andei Sivaram Maharam. All their hearts were melting for him on the pot of attraction. They looked at him without blinking their eyes, and they moved hither and thither in perplexity. The Srimad Bhagavatam is so poetic. It's so nice to such a wonderful description given by Shukadeva Goswami that describes how the residents of Hastinapur were so absorbed in Krishna's person in every way, just like we have a small glimpse of that in the mundane world, where there is an attraction between the mother and the child. A small glimpse of it. Here, of course, it's on such a level that's beyond our comprehension, practically, that the residents of Hastinapur were so in love with Krishna that, practically speaking, they were simply going through the motions of the day. Isn't it sometimes we get so absorbed in some, usually it's some problem, that takes our attention to the point where you just go through things throughout the day, but your mind is somewhere else. So here, it's so nicely described how their hearts were melting for him in the pot of attraction. And you can just imagine how you put some butter in a pot or some ice cube, whatever, if you're into ice cubes. But you put a little bit of butter in a pot and you see how it melts away, how it dissolves practically. The whole structure practically of that cube of butter is melted away, is dissolved. And it transforms into something else. So it's wonderful to see how the residents here were so absorbed that they were looking at the Lord without even blinking their eyes. And they moved hither and thither in a perplexity. And Srila Prabhupada points out in the purport here that this is possible, only possible, in the person of Krishna. Why? Because Krishna is, as Prabhupada points out here, is naturally attractive. It's not that he has to go through any extra endeavor, like we see in the mundane world. People have to go through extra effort in order to gain some followers. They do so many various things. But Krishna doesn't have to do any of that. He's naturally attractive for all living beings, and because he's the chief. And we see that practically, again, in some mundane sense in this world. When someone is chief, they naturally become attractive to all others, in one sense or another, in one way or another. Krishna also was attractive, and the Krishna book so nicely describes how Krishna was attractive to everyone, the animals, the demons, the devotees, the residents of this place, that place, even the warriors he had to fight. They were all enamored and attracted to Krishna's person. Kantarpa koti kamaniya vishesha sobham. Lord Brahma describes in the Brahma Samhita that Krishna is so attractive that he's attracting millions of gopis or cupids. That he's so attractive that even vast numbers, unlimited numbers of cupids are attracted to him. Isn't there one very nice pastime in the Bhagavatam? I forget where it's at, if someone could remind me. Where I believe it was Narayan. Was it Narayan who was being tempted by, was it Maya Devi? Indra sent someone. And he manifested celestial beauties that were so far beyond that the heavenly damsels were embarrassed. Krishna is so beautiful, so attractive, that even the most attractive in the mundane world, Cupid, becomes attracted. Madan Mohan, he's so beautiful, he's so attractive, that thousands of Cupids, he's even attracting thousands of Cupids. This is the position of the personality of Godhead. Not only that, but as Prabhupada points out here, he is alone is the maintainer of the many eternals. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam yo viridhati kaman. The Supreme Lord and the living entities are both eternal, and they're both cognizant. But there's one Supreme who's supplying all of the necessities for others. Again, that makes Krishna supremely attractive. When someone can provide everything you need, that personality becomes naturally attractive. So Krishna is like that, that not only is he supremely attractive, but he's providing everything for the living beings. And when that awareness becomes manifest, unfortunately right now, as Prabhupada points out here, the living being, the living entity, has forgotten that relationship. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was discussing with Sanatana Goswami, and he tells him, Krishna Buliya Se Jeev Anadi Bahir Mukh, that the living entity, since time immemorial, has been under the influence of the material energy, has been under its grip since time immemorial. And that as a result, the living, the material energy imposes upon the living being various miseries, threefold miseries, samsara dukkha. There's so many different difficulties that the living entity has to undergo as a result of his association with this material energy. Unfortunately, due to that association, the living being, as Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, that he has to sarvabhut, what is that? Sarvabhutani samoham. He has to repeatedly go through that struggle and has to deal with this misery of material life repeatedly, which of course is not a natural condition, but because of that association with material nature, we've been drug into this material world, and we're having to undergo so many trials and tribulations, so many challenges. But once that relation is slightly revived, as Srila Prabhupada points out here, once it's even a teeny bit revived, as we recite in the morning, Srinivata Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanam, that by that repeated recitation and hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam, or by the repeated practice of the basic practices of Bhakti Yoga, that relationship is slightly revived. Of course, one cannot do it by oneself. It's not that we can, by our own endeavor, revive that Krishna consciousness, that natural consciousness. Lord Chaitanya again tells Sanatana Goswami that out of Krishna's causeless mercy, he's given us the Vedic literatures, Veda Puran. We, some or other, by Krishna's, again, what a wonderful loving transcendental personality would do such a thing, that out of causeless mercy will help the suffering conditioned souls. We don't find that kind of relationship in the material world, where people are willing to give of themselves for those who are suffering. It's not it's not there. There always has to be some motive. What do I get from that relationship? But a Krishna is not like that. Instead, out of his causeless mercy, he's given us the Vedic literatures. And Prabhupada makes that very nice point here at the end of the purport, that such Vedic literatures as Srimad Bhagavatam are there to train the conditioned soul. Vidyate hriyate granthis. That by the repetition and by the execution of Krishna consciousness and Krishna conscious activities in a regulated way, the hard knot which is there in the heart is pierced. And all of the misgivings that are there due to contact with this material nature, they're slowly dissipated. This is the effects of practicing the process of Krishna Bhakti. But it takes good association, as Prabhupada points out here. This association is made possible not only by personal contact with the Lord, but also by association with His name, fame, form, and quality. So there's the Vapu and the Vani, Srila Prabhupada is pointing out here. It's like one can have the personal association of Krishna, as so many fortunate souls were. Or one can take the association of Krishna through His words, His Vani. Just as we're also given that association through the association of a spiritual master, the Vapu is there. Or one can take the association of that spiritual master by Divani. And very nicely here, Prabhupada points out that this perfection is attained by hearing from the pure devotee. Mercy is there. Krishna is helping. Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavatam that the Lord is helping in three different ways. He's helping through the Supersoul, and He's helping through the Shastra, and He's helping through the pure devotee, the Guru. So, in all senses, Krishna is helping the conditioned souls. And it's just a matter of us being willing to execute. Maharaj Parikit, in the Bhagavatam, he's speaking to Sukadeva Goswami, and he tells him that if one hears the Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and submissively, then the personality of Godhead will appear in the heart within a short time. Proof. The proof is there, of course, in Maharaj Parikit himself, but the proof is there in those who take up the process of Krishna consciousness in a very sincere way. If we just hear these wonderful conversations, if we hear these the wonderful activities of Krishna, the wonderful activities of His devotees, then all of this association, as Prabhupada makes very nicely, this association is made possible not only by the personal, but also by the Lord's Vani. By that association, all of those impurities which are keeping us from experiencing this process, from our sort of dousing our enthusiasm to practice, those things will slowly dissipate. And the time will come when, just as here, the residents of Hastinapur, they were so absorbed and so focused on their on the Lord that nothing else was of concern. You can hardly imagine going through one's daily activities and the mind is totally absorbed in Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's activities with his devotees, his beautiful form. We can't, we can hardly imagine. But the fact is that it's possible. If we simply sincerely practice and sincerely execute the basic activities of Krishna consciousness. So, in there, any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
A child might be deformed, blind, and deaf, but his mother will love him as much as a beautiful child. So that's love. It's like it's not out of sensory pleasures. But imagine Krishna. It's like the 2-3-year-old Krishna with like lotus eyes and bimba lips walking by. It doesn't take much to love that child. Or imagine Krishna entering Mathura. All the women of the city are on the rooftops and they're out of their body, right? So it doesn't take much seeing Krishna and loving him. And we see examples like Putana or Kubja that approach Krishna out of lust, like they don't approach Krishna in a loving way, but they fall in love with him. And I understand that you can approach Krishna with ulterior motives and you get purified just because you have approached Krishna. But at the same time, we have other examples, like the demons who approach Krishna, the same Krishna that others fall in love with him, but they don't see, they go, for some reason, they don't get attracted. So how is it possible that Krishna is the absolute attractive, but it becomes relative for some reason for some people?
Well, I would say that Krishna has a plan for every living being, and he has so not that someone is doing something that's outside of Krishna's plan. Krishna has desires just like you and I, and sometimes he likes to fight. Sometimes he likes to play. Sometimes he likes to do this or that. So he needs someone to help him in that particular pastime. So it's not that whether it's Kamsa or Hiranyakashipu or it was this one or that one that Krishna did not have a long-term plan to engage them. We don't know, of course, the history of some quote-unquote demon who may not be attracted to Krishna consciousness and is doing this thing or that thing. We don't know what their long-term, what their past may have been or what Krishna has in store for them in the future. But again, Krishna wants, he likes to engage in all sorts of pastimes and activities, and he needs different living beings, different souls to help him in those particular pastimes. So, again, my answer would be that for Krishna's pleasure, so many things are happening, whether it involves the devotees or the demons or the aquatics or whatever. Everyone has some... everyone is, as Prabhupada points out here, is being maintained by Krishna. He's the owner and controller in every sense. So it's not that something is, again, happening outside of his knowledge or outside of his sanctioning. And it's there to purify that soul. It's there to attract those who may be more innocent, those who may be on the verge of engaging in devotional service. They hear or they see such wonderful pastimes, they become attracted, or their revival of Krishna consciousness, of love for Krishna happens. So that would be my answer. Krishna has a plan for everyone. We may not know it, but he's perfectly aware. Archita Prabhu. Or Tatsudit.
I'd just like to add that, in addition to what you said, I'd like to add Narada Muni's observation in the seventh canto, because Radha Krishna, you were asking about people like demons who don't feel love when they see Krishna. They feel enmity, but Narada Muni praises that enmity, and he said sometimes people are attracted to Krishna out of enmity, and that's even stronger than some ordinary affection.
Yeah, we know from the nectar devotion there's different rasas. Everyone, it can be even ghastly or demoniac, whatever. Neutrality. Again, there are so many different rasas, but the end is that living entity is benefited and makes advancement and comes closer to Krishna.
Hi, Bhopu. Thank you for a nice class. Kind of short, but nice. Thank you. Radha Krishna's question is actually a very good question. And in addition to what you said, some, as you pointed out, some living entities are sent directly to participate in Krishna's pastime. Like we know Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, they were thrown directly into the material world to fight Krishna. Others, it's not so clear. Let's go back to Mathura, his example. We have that washerman who worked for Kamsa. Krishna came and said, you know, I want this garment. That. He said, nah, get out of here. This is for the king. So Krishna killed him. So apparently he wasn't attracted. He was more loyal to Kamsa. And then even the ordinary living entities. The point you made about the absolute truth, what makes him absolute, is that whatever you're attracted to is coming from him. Everybody's attracted to something. So even if you're not apparently attracted directly to Krishna himself, which is the case for most of us, we're still not directly attracted to Krishna. We still want a car, a house, a this or that. So as Bhajan Narayan puts it very nicely, why be attracted to a boy, a girl, a dog, or a cat? Why not be attracted to Krishna who made all of that? So it's all coming from Krishna. So whatever you're attracted to, it's actually Krishna's energies, and that's what makes him the absolute truth. So to wake up, and rather than being just attracted to his energy, be attracted to the energetic source. That's the whole point.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, we're all attracted to Krishna. We just don't know. We're just in ignorance right now. And in our ignorance, we're attracted to money, fame, or this thing or that thing. But actually, it's an attraction for Krishna. It's just being misplaced right now. So, as Prabhupada points out here, the Bhagavatam trains the conditioned soul. By that association, we're being trained.
Thanks for a wonderful class. I think as far as devotees are concerned in development of attraction, because a lot of times we talk about love and we're reading about that in its particular purport, I've always thought that and understood that the real conclusion of how to develop love for Krishna is actually by accepting a bona fide spiritual master. And then by accepting a spiritual master, then we learn the methods of the process of devotional service. And from that activity of devotional service, then we can genuinely develop attachment for Krishna and actually genuine love. So we see there's a lot of energy, a lot of living entities, and they're attracted to many things. But in the principle of real love, if we're talking about real love is only acquired by the association of a pure devotee of the Lord. Otherwise, it can be just speculation. We think that we love, and we think this and we think that. But you can only discriminate that real loving nature when you associate with a pure devotee. You hear the messages of Godhead from a pure devotee. You engage in that service, and then from that service, one develops love.
Yeah, Prabhupada makes that point in the very last line of the purport, where he says that the Bhagavatam trains the conditioned soul to this stage of perfection by submissive hearing from the pure devotee. So submissive hearing means that we're submitting ourselves to the pure devotee, submitting ourselves in, and taking guidance. So, exactly. We can read the Bhagavatam, but it has to be given by the pure devotee. That element has to be there.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a nice class. And just to add a little something, is that Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam that he is equal to everyone, and that he reciprocates according to how we reciprocate with him. So that loving attitude is so important in the devotee, whether we're chanting or dancing or serving, distributing books, when whatever service we're doing, that loving attitude towards Krishna.
Yeah. Thank you. Any other comments? Last one. Prem Sankirtan.
So, we already have this love of God in our hearts. And in spiritual world, we enjoy this love. So, okay, we have free will. And this love for Krishna is the most powerful, and Krishna is the most attractive. So how is possible then we can be attracted with something what is less powerful than that love for Krishna, what we already have in spiritual world?
The living being is marginal, as Prabhupada points out here in the purport, that one's eternal relation with him, now forgotten under the spell of Maya. So it's forgotten at the moment. We're marginal. So that forgetfulness, that can be there.
But why we choose, okay, we are marginal energy, but Krishna is so attractive and we already have this love for him. So why we choose to, how
because
is possible?
Yeah,
I mean, it's marginal energy, but that
because,
means if
because
it, not
you
just
have a little bit of independence.
I didn't finish.
You misuse it.
I didn't finish. So if we come back to the spiritual world, that means we can do again, come here. Okay, Prabhupada said, you know, we were born here, we remember that we are born here in the material world, but still, Prabhupada also said somewhere the possibility we can fall again and again and again, many times.
Yeah, that possibility is always there. It's just like prasadam. People have a choice. You can either take prasadam or you can go and have something from some other strange place. The choice is yours. If you want to eat prasadam and be happy, then it's right over there. But if you don't, you can go over there and have some weird thing. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.